Gosh, that's better than any message I've ever heard. That's certainly better than mine, but oh my goodness. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you truly are great. How great is our God? And Lord, we stand strong with that, and what a security that is. How great is our God? Lord, I pray you would just open the scriptures to us this morning and show us truth about what you're doing, of how great you are and what you are doing and revealing yourself. We thank you for that as we look into the book of Romans. Lord, I pray you open each heart to receive. I pray you just anoint me with the Spirit to speak the things you'd have me say. And so we give this time to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Turn, if you will, to Romans. Now, I announced last week, and some of you weren't here, but we're going to be going through the book of Romans. And the book of Romans is like it's systematic theology of the Bible. I mean, it truly is the best systematic theology there is, because it's in the Bible from the hand of the Apostle Paul through the direction of God. And so systematic theology is so we can understand the whole big picture of it, and that gives us a good balance so that we can behave in a powerful way before for the Lord. Now last week we looked at the first seven verses, and the first seven verses truly give us a foundation of the Christian faith. Paul's basically saying, this is what we believe. So the first seven verses. So it's good to read the first seven verses because that's how he starts out. And then what he does the rest of the 16 chapters is explain those first seven verses. And so it's a fascinating book. So this morning, we're going to start off by looking at verse 16, Romans chapter 1, verse 16 through 17. Says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteousness shall live by faith. Now think about it, that's a real powerful verse, and it's referring to the first seven. And then looking forward to the next 16 chapters, he's explaining, this is a Christian life. This is the foundation. And he goes, I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed. And he tells us why. So it's a powerful section here. And that's what we're going to look at these verses here, and how it really impacts us and in our walk with the Lord. And so this will be the focus of the message, that we are not ashamed of the gospel. That's the title of the message, not ashamed. So we are not ashamed of the gospel. Now the gospel means, all right, good news. That's what it means. It's good news. You can go a lot of places and you don't hear good news. You won't hear good news. It's the gospel. So the gospel means good news, which is the good news about Jesus. It's the good news about Jesus. So we're set to look at this and be encouraged. But first, before we look at these verses, I want us, we will look at the world as it is. And that's going to be verses 18 through 32. So right after this, it tells us about the world as it is. And so that's kind of a downer, the world as it is. So I thought, well, we'll look at the world as it is, and then we'll end about the encouragement to us. So we can end on an up note, okay? So I want to end on an up note, and that's the reason I'm taking it out of sequence. And so when we look at verses 18 through 32, what we do, we see the world as it is and how God deals with a group of sin-loving people, all right? So God denying sin-loving people, verses 18 through 32 says, this is how I deal with those people. You ever wonder, well, what's going on and how's God doing it? He tells us. He tells us right here. And I think we should pay special attention to that. Now, before we, and I'm basically going to read through those verses, but before I do, I want to highlight a couple of things in those, so as I read through them, you can pay attention to those and how important they are as we come through when God says, this is what I'm dealing, this is how I deal with the world. All right? Now, To begin with, God tells us on these verses, God tells us that his wrath is already being revealed. And we shouldn't skip over that, okay? Because he says, oh, by the way, my wrath is being revealed. So all the stuff going around us, God says, yeah, I'm revealing my wrath. So he's working, and we don't understand it, you know. And so he said, I want to help you understand what's going on here. My wrath is being revealed. So we need to pay attention to these few verses here, because he's telling us up front what's going on. Now, what that means is that throughout history, we have seen evidence of the wrath of God. Oh, we've just seen God's love, God's creation. He said, well, yeah, but you've seen my wrath. I mean, that's what he's saying. No, you've seen it. I always have this idea. People say, I wish I could ask God. I have those same things too, but I have this funny thing. As soon as I say it, he's going to go, you know, I told you. I love it when the Pharisees, they ask him a question. He goes, well, your problem is you don't know the scriptures. And so I'm not going to ask Jesus nothing. I said, you got it. Me, you, we're together. And I know what my issue is. Okay. But so what we have here is God said, no, I've told you my wrath is being revealed. I'm doing my work here. So he's letting us know. Now, so we know that there's been evidence throughout history of God's wrath. Now, God's wrath is like, that's bad as it gets, okay? In Revelation, when the whole world is destroyed, when Jesus comes back, he calls that his wrath. So, I mean, it's not good when he says his wrath is being revealed, already being revealed. And so we've seen this in the terrible corruption and perversion of human life. You just, what is going on? It's just the perversion, the corruption, just pain and hurt. God says, my wrath is being revealed of those who reject me. And so what we see in this, we see the degradation of people, which is not only from natural consequences, all right? I mean, it's kind of like you stick your finger in the light socket. Oh, man, you know, we just do stuff and we get the consequences of it. So that happens. But it's not only that. It is also, the wrath of God is also the intervention of God's justice in the history of mankind. It's an intervention which he designates by one single term, which means to give over. So there's a degradation that we just bring on ourselves, you know, but then God also moves into that and steps in and gives us over. How many of you had a chill go up your back just then? It's like, whoa, that doesn't sound good, does it? But that's what it is. So the key term here, you're going to see used three times throughout this section. It says God gave them over. God actively moved in to the world and gave people over to their corruption. Whoa. Now, because of the unbelievers' choices, God gave them over to their choices. Think about that. Because of their choices, God gave them over to their choices. You want it? You got it. But not only you're having natural kind, he moves over to release you into those. And so it's kind of a frightening thing. Now, similarly, we see the same thought in 1 Corinthians 5:5 and 1 Timothy 1:20. And I have an overhead for that one. You can look at it. Because, well, how does God do that? You know, I don't want him to explain that to me. I just, okay, I got you. But how does he do that to give people over? Well, in these two verses, 1 Corinthians 5:5 and 1 Timothy 1:20, it tells you how he has done it in those things. So we have an idea of what happens. Now, again, we're understanding what's happening in the world right now. He's telling us what is going on. Oh, what? He's telling us what's going on. So 1 Corinthians 5:5 says this, you are to deliver Okay? You are to deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Gosh, I bet that was a good church meeting. She's, oh my goodness. That's what said. Take it seriously. What do you do? Well, you got this deal going on here, and you are to deliver this man to Satan. How do you do that? I mean, how do you do that? Well, where is God's protection? He promises people his protection, and he promised his covering where? I heard two. The church. The church is protection. Oh, by the way, the governor says it's non-essential. Ah! No, it's the protection. Didn't even see my issue. I have to confess because I'm just, oh, it drives me nuts still. But so how do you deliver the man to Satan for destruction of the flesh? You put him out of the church. Then he is free game for Satan. See, the church is protecting. You know, I mean, we could have like an escape center. They come out, I'm just hanging around with you guys. It's safe, you know, because there's a protection. No, he can't hang around you guys. Put him out there. He's one-on-one in Satan. And then crazy stuff happens. Why does crazy stuff happen? Because he's one-on-one in Satan. Rebellious children leave their family, leave the church, and they do crazy stuff. Why? They're one-on-one with Satan. Y'all see what I'm saying? No. Erase that. Do you see what the word's saying? That, so this is what we're saying, and God says, oh, by the way, I'm giving them over. They're one-on-one with Satan. Now, look at 1 Timothy 1:20. Alexander had some, just was carrying also heresy, and so Paul writes a letter back to the church and says, you got to deal with Alexander. I mean, he just preaching false doctrine. Whom I have handed over to Satan. What is that? Alexander, he's not in the church. See, and there's a releasing of people. I mean, you know, even the Bible tells you some places not to pray for some people. There's a releasing of the corruption and the evil outside of the church. And then they're one-on-one with Satan. That's what these verses say, right? Now, okay, this gives you, think about what's going on. So now what we have here, And we're not told exactly how this giving over is implemented. We have these verses here. But most likely it is, God's taking his hand off. That's most likely what. And he's taking their hand off and releasing them to their willful rejection. Let them go. See, that's their choice. And he's releasing them to their choice. And you're to deliver them out to Satan. The place that Satan doesn't have dominion is the church. I mean, that's what the Bible says. And I'm not going to repeat myself to all the irritation I just told you before. You see what I'm saying? Do you see what's happening? It's amazing. It's really good to read the scriptures. It really is good to read the scriptures. All right. So now I'm going to read through Romans 8 through 20, and God's going to tell us how he deals with those who turn from him worldwide, worldwide, and how they turned from him to follow their own wicked heart, their own wicked heart. Pay close attention to how God deals with the lost world, and especially the term God gave them up. And he uses it three times in this section. Okay, now, this gives us an understanding of what's happening all around us. See, I mean, it's going to tell us right now, what is happening? Well, it's this. No, it's not. It's not. God gives over. Okay, are you ready as we read through? So if you have your Bible out, something you should follow along. I'm going to do very little elaboration. I'm just going to read it. It's self-explanatory. Okay, Romans 1:18 starts with this. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. It's happening. How can this be so turned from men? Just delivered them to their own will. And then maybe more than that. I don't know. Okay. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. Can't have truth. Can't have the church expounding truth because they suppress the truth because the truth convicts them of their evilness. Amen. There it is. Verse 19, for what can be known about God is plain to them. Now, I mean, I know you're going, well, what? No, God just said it's plain to them. All these laws, well, God, you didn't show me, because yeah, I didn't. Now, I don't know how he works that, but he works it, okay? And I'm going to leave that up to him. But this is what he says. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things which have been made. So they are without excuse. That's the world. Ah, what about those that don't know? God's telling them. God said their heart is being exposed. Their heart is being exposed. And so they are without excuse. Now see, he reveals one thing in all creation. All creation. I remember I was talking to my dad one time. And he totally, non-believer, never went to church. When I came a believer and I talked to him. And I talked to him about it. He said, don't you tell me about God. I just look at the stars and know there's a God. Right here. Right here. Right here. And I thought, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you're right. Okay. And so what we have, we see God in creation. So Satan must implement and present evolution as a counterfeit. And now we will see evolution in the place of creation. The point is to take our eyes off of God. World buys into it. World buys into it. And see, they have a problem. Well, prove God. Won't prove evolution. Well, they can't. See, they can't. They're always looking for a missing link how did it start? They can't tell you. Then they ask, how do you know God spoke? Well, that's silly, But no, he just spoke. Okay. And so God is saying, no, this is all evidence. Satan knows this. And he knows that the stars communicate to my dad that there is a God. So he has to bring in a whole system of evolution that take this. No, this was, all through evolution. It's demonic. It's demonic. Totally demonic. It tells us right here. Okay, so God's telling us what's happening worldwide. Worldwide. He's telling us what's happening. Okay. I'm going to share this with you. I may have shared it before. I'm probably sure I have. But I had a friend of ours. He went to the mission field. And it was in tribes up in Thailand, or maybe in Laos. I don't know. It doesn't make any difference. So we went into this village. And in this village, he shared, they just have to learn the language, write the language, teach them the Bible after you learn the language, right? Talk about a long ministry. And they did. And these three guys immediately accepted Christ. Immediately. And when he could talk to them, he says, and he asked them to explain, why did you accept it so fast? He says, we've been meeting together for years and years. We knew there was a great God, and we wanted somebody to tell us about it. See, God's at work. I mean, we keep trying to do God's work. He's going to do his work, And so, just a perfect example. Okay. Verse 21. Now, For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. See, it takes some effort to deny God, okay? For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. I don't know. You turn away, darkened. You turn into darkness, he gives you darkness. I think their foolish hearts were darkened. And verse 22, claiming to be wise, they became fools. It's just the way it is. That's what happened. In the end, face to face with God. You were right. I was wrong on that. Okay. And they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. They worship the creation, not the creator, which he goes on and says here, okay? So, it says, they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images, okay, of mortal man. Now, this verse 24, the first words is important. Therefore. Okay, they did that. They did, and that word's there, and it means what it means, okay? Then the next word is, therefore, because of your decisions and your belief and your movements and what you have done, therefore, a result of your own decision, God gave them up. Their decision, God gave them up. Underline that, circle that. Therefore, and God gave them up. And God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. Why did he do that? Verse 25, because, words there, change, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. See, they worship. They worship the creation rather than the Creator. Now, I'm going to say something. You know, some fanatical, extreme fanatical concern for the environment is absolutely demonic. They're worshiping the creation. They have to take care of it. It's their responsibility to take care of it. Okay? Now, I'm talking about fanatics. And I've heard people say, it's like a god. It is a god. Who is their god? No, it's this Mother Earth. And it's extreme. And there's no allowances for any discussion. Because this is the source of my worship. It's an extreme that replaced God. So, it's like, isn't this making sense? I said, no, this is what I'm doing around the world. Then verse 26, for this reason, what reason? The decision that they just made. So he says again, the decision they just made, they've exchanged the truth about God for a lie. Verse 26, for this reason, as a result of their decision, God gave them up. Oh, we got a second gave them up. We got a second going deeper into the pit. God gave them up to dishonorable passions. Let me just read this slowly. Now all you have to do is refer to the scripture. You used to refer to me and say, well, I just read it. Dishonorable passions. God gave them up to dishonorable. God gave them up to dishonorable passions. So evidence, if we see this. For their women exchange natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. I wonder if the Pope read this. I don't have to say a word. I don't have to say one word. All right. Verse 28. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up. Here's the third time. This is the third time. There's order. This is sequential. This is sequential. God gave them up. Since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. You can't even connect the dots anymore. Can't connect the dots. The lack of biblical terms, you say they're fried. Okay? He gives them up to the debased mind. And it says, they are filled. Now that word filled, you make a circle, because the word means filled to overflowing, and there's no room for anything else. So take the meaning. You can't get anything else in there. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full. No room for anything else. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossip, slanderers, haters of God. No room for God. Haters of God. Insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil. Amen. The creativity of a human to invent evil. This one. The next one. Disobedient to parents. Why is all this nonsense being pushed into the school system? Why are they so concerned about your children? Why do they press it in? Why do they tell kids they can go in any bathroom they want to? Why do they confuse kids on their gender? Why? It's demonic. And why can't you discipline your children? Why can't you show them what to do? Why? Because it is a sign, and they get the kids, and they raise these kids up, and they'll be immersed in this blackness and evilness, and they'll do the worst things than we could ever imagine. Being disobedient to parents is necessary. Absolutely necessary. Next is foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. All right. Must have ran out of adjectives. I don't know. It's just like, good grief. Okay. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. That's what I feel, and I love the darkness that do it. You know. And it's all consuming. Now, so here we are. Aren't you glad I saved verses 16 to 17 till the end? All right. Now, so here we are. Now, what's important to look at this, just the thought that this was written 2,000 years ago. Nothing's changed. Not one thing. How can this happen? It's like you ain't seen nothing. You ain't seen nothing yet. Nothing. There's a, y'all remember Pompeii, the building, the volcano, and covered it up. When they first uncovered, and that just covered, nobody got to it, you know, for years, because it's just leveled it and it's so quick. And they went in and uncovered it. The first people that went there, like the 1800s, and they still kind of have a strong Christian background, whether they're believers or not. And they uncovered that stuff, and it was so awful what they saw drawn in the walls, the picture of immorality, that they banned anybody from going in there, like built defense rings. You're not allowed to go in this place. And Catholic Church, and Italy, you can't, it's too terrible. Now they're selling tickets to go to the thing now, okay? But the point of what you see in Pompeii, it's like, oh my God, we ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. Pompeii was absolutely debased to the very core. To the very core. And I would be embarrassed to say what they found. I mean, it's a thriving metropolis. Thriving, massive metropolis. See, so nothing new under the sun. Nothing new under the sun. So this is the path our country and the world's embracing.
to think.
There's natural releasing to your own, one's own rejection. But God's turning it over. God's turning it over. And with that is the wrath of judgment. Part of God's wrath is what comes upon us for our own evil decisions. Amen? Don't you just go crazy with your kids? Oh my God, I know what you don't. Oh, I know what's going to happen. I mean, you just like, they can't see. God is looking at, God, don't you know what's happening? You know? That's what he's doing to us. But he's like, all right, you're not listening. It's yours. He turns them over. It's wrath. We suffer God's wrath. Still. I had a, he's a real godly guy. He said, he's never suffered. God doesn't have any of his wrath now today. And I didn't say anything. Bob, this one, you ever read it? Anyway, he said, I mean, it's here. So we need to understand, this is what's happening. This is what's happening around. God's working all this. Oh, this is so terrible. Yeah, they called it on themselves, and God released it to them, and that is what's coming to the end result. He is not going to bless their disobedience. Not going to happen. Amen. Well, are you ready for Romans verses 16 to 17? This is how it opens up going into this, okay? So we have this equipment going into this. God has put his people in the midst of darkness and given them a job description. See, I came to know the Lord, and I said, I want my own paradise island with people who like me. I mean, that's my idea of the Christian walk. No, read the book. And what it says, I call you to me, I give you strength, power, and then I put you into the darkness. And then you carry the light into the darkness. You know, my son, I just pick on him, my son. He has the funniest thing. He says, anybody says, they used to be this small, and this is truth. They'd give out these tracts. Says, God has a wonderful plan for your life. He'd always, and he says, yeah, you better read the fine print. So it's like, because he said, no, he put you into the darkness. He didn't give you your own island, okay, to be happy. All right, so here we have. So let's start looking at this. In all this darkness, God shows us how he will reveal his light. We're looking, I mean, aren't we looking at this thing? Oh, my God. Oh, this is terrible. I mean, Lord, what are you going to do? He tells us. And here it is. This is the truth. And if we don't recognize this truth, we're always frustrated. Always frustrated. See, Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 17. Now I'm going to read it because this is happening in this darkness. Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, also to the Greek, for it is the righteousness of God, for the righteousness of God is revealed from faith, that should be to faith, not for faith, revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. I'm putting you in there, and you have all you need. What? Faith. I mean, how about some help? I mean, what? God, don't you have something else? Anyway, that's just me. Okay, what I wanted to do here, God has given us a job description or a character of God's people. And this shows how we can be avenues of God's power and light to the darkness. See, that's what it is. We're avenues of God's power and light to the darkness. That's why we're here. That's why we're here, all right? Now, the verses are up there, and I'm just going to kind of go through, and I'm going to highlight what it says on this, and I'll just process it. It goes through, because God is telling us this right now, today. And to go back to what Pastor Milliken, I mean, God bless Pastor Milliken. I told you he's going to be what he would say, and I just like, I know you're godly, I know you're sweet, but I don't think you know what you're talking about, you know? And he'd just say that, oh, and he would do that. I just kind of said, oh, your light shines brightest when it's darkest. And help me. I'm going, I want an escape clause. It's what I want. I don't want to just be light in this mess. I want out of this mess. You know, it's like that. So this is telling us, this is what he understood this. He understood this. All right. Number one, what's the one thing, a character of God's people, of Pastor Millington? Number one, we don't have overhead, so just stand. We stand unashamed to the whole world, government, friends, relatives, and gospel, revealing the gospel. Number one thing, unashamed. That's it. And what's the first thing the world tries to do? Make us ashamed. We keep our mouth shut. I'll tell this again about Pastor Millican. And I tell about Pastor Millican, Mrs. Millican, because I've never seen people that godly before, you know, before or since. It's just like, it was amazing. And they would try, their children were here, and they'd try to take them, show them around. You know, they'd take them to the mall. And said they just couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. So you go in the mall, and it's full of people. And they were cornering everybody in the mall, giving them the gospel. Couldn't buy anything. You try Bibles. And they, do you know Jesus? What? What do you know? I can tell you about it. You don't know. They don't know Jesus. The daughter said, it's just miserable. Just flat miserable going to the mall with them. They try to evangelize everybody. You know, it just says you have to go home. See? And I'm ashamed. And I'm ashamed. You know? And they said, well, what are you talking about? Let me tell you. We went to see a friend one time, and they had a visitor come over. And so I took them over. And Mrs. Millican came in with me, introduced, and I said, oh, this is your friend. Oh, she looked at it and said, oh, my, he doesn't know Jesus, does he? I mean, that's just like, hello, you don't know Jesus. Let me tell you about it. Oh, we can't do it. No, we can't eat it. He needs to know about Jesus. I mean, we're all starving to death, and she's leading this guy to the Lord, you know. You just can't. I mean, unashamed. And they just thought, oh, it's such a pity on everybody else. See? So, unashamed. Number one, that's it. Unashamed. That takes care of a lot of things right there. The second thing, we're not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings forgiveness, transforms us, empowers us, and delivers us from hell. And this power is to all who believe. Not ashamed, because it's the power of God. We got the power. That's it. And that's what this verse is saying. In this darkness, you got the power. You know, the Millicans, they're down the hall. They said, these people, we got the power. They think they're shopping. No, they're here to meet us. Like that. Okay, the third thing. The righteousness, good, perfect God is revealed in the gospel of Jesus. The word Jesus describes the attributes of God. Through Jesus, we are unashamedly a witness to God. That's a high school thing, and pray, but don't mention Jesus. Well, that's a waste of time. No, that's the truth. I mean, that is the truth. Oh, we'd like you to close in prayer, but don't mention Jesus. What? I mean, ain't no sense going. There's no sense saying anything if you don't mention Jesus, because all the attributes of God are wrapped in the revelation of Jesus. Satan goes, have anybody come and pray? Anybody come and say anything? But don't let them mention Jesus. Just that, man, that messes things up. Amen. See? So, it's the word Jesus. Let Jesus be on your lips. Pastor Millican, Mr. Oh, do you love just some, this big God, this big kind? Oh, don't you know Jesus? Yeah, Jesus. Of course, I looked at them, they said Jesus, and I thought they were Jesus. It's like, oh my God, you know, it's just, Jesus. You know, this is this consumed, absolutely consumed with this. Absolutely consumed. Okay, and then the next thing. The fourth thing here is the truth of God is revealed literally from faith to faith. Now, the Bible's a lot of said faith for faith, and it's a preposition, so you can kind of go either way. But the literal thing is from faith to faith. So God reveals, God is revealed literally from faith to faith, and this is important. He's telling us something here. Say, faith, how we have to faith? You have to hear God. You have to hear God, and then you do what he says. Now, see, if you to have faith, God needs to show you something. You know, if I stand on this chair and say, I'm going to fall over backwards off the top of it, and I have faith, God will catch me. You know, and you'd say, you're an idiot, and you'd have every right to say that. Because God didn't tell me to get on that chair and fall over backwards, you know. He's probably speaking, you know, if he does that, you know he's an idiot. Okay, so he'd speak to you if I did something that crazy. But you see, so you have to hear and know something from God, and then you act on it, and that's faith. That's faith. Amen? And so this is what you go, and so we have to hear something. We heard the gospel. We believe it, and we step in it. It's faith. We heard. That's the truth. So when we hear the good news about Jesus and by faith we believe it, we act on that faith, which creates more faith. Therefore, faith acted on moves us to more faith. We go from faith to faith. God told me, I step in it. I get more faith. Step forward. I get more faith. Step forward. That's the life. Some of us aren't stepping forward in nothing. See? You step in what you know. Then you step in what you know. Faith to faith. And that's what it says right here. It's telling us. It is, Lord reveals himself, faith to faith. And the last one here is, the righteous will live by faith. Now, the whole Reformation, the reason the Protestant religion exists, is because Martin Luther, Catholic, read that and believed it. It's not this. It's not the church. It's not the law. It's faith. You believe the righteous live by faith. And that's what turned the world upside down. Martin Luther did it in the 1500s. And it's this verse right here. Change the world. Righteous live by faith. Right there. Fascinating. And this verse is from Habakkuk 2:4, and it's quoted here, and it's quoted in Galatians 3:11. Embracing this increasing faith, we survive and powerfully live in this sinful, dark world. Our faith overcomes the world, and it's all tied in Jesus. And nobody, you're not going to get any place from the scripture in the body of believers in the church. It's it. That's it. Everything else is going to go haywire. And if we don't step in this, God says, okay, I'll just give you over to whatever you want to do. Watch. Gives us over to wrath. See, when we have better ideas than this, okay, give you over. You don't belong to church, but you, go ahead. See what I'm saying? And so I put this verse up, 1 John 5:4. But this is so crucial. I mean, it summarized the whole thing, 1 John 5:4. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. We win. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. What do you believe? What do you believe? That's what overcomes the world. What do you believe? What's God told you? You act on that. What do you believe? Because your faith overcomes the world. Therefore, you need to hear something from God. Act on it. Hear something else from God. Act on it. What overcomes the world is your faith. What do you believe? What do I believe? And we're all here by faith. Someone shared that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, and we believe on him, and we are forgiven. And we believe and give our heart to that on faith. And that gives us security, and we step in it. So we're here by faith. The next step is you read, and he shows you something. Okay, that's what. Then you step in that by faith. And the righteous live by faith. And we overcome the world by our faith. You're the craziest person. That's nonsense. You don't know what you're talking to. You don't talk about Jesus when you pray. What are you doing? I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Period. There's light. There's light. You have just owned the conversation. Right there. See? And that's the foundation for everything. Faith to faith. And the righteous live by faith. And faith is believing what God told you, like the gospel, and then acting on it. Then he shows you something else. Then act on it. Amen? And the world is verses 18 through 32. And that's where he put us. In the world, in verses 18 through 32. And all we have to do is be a light. And God shows up. Amen? But why do they say, don't say Jesus in your prayer at the school? You can pray. Oh God. Oh, don't say Jesus. Don't say Jesus. Because that's where the power is. That's where the power is. Amen? See, God tells us, systematic theology. Hey, this is what you got. This is where the world is. This is how you are. Have a light. We could almost put a period there and quit. But he goes on for 15 more chapters to give us some more detail so that we can have strength, encouragement, and power as we walk in this world. He's telling us. God's plan A is us. And I really do think it's a silly plan A. I mean, I'll just make it personalized. Wallace, you're my plan A. You may even need to relook that, God. You know, I don't feel like plan. No, I have no plan B. You're plan A. If you say so. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love and that you are a mighty, mighty God. Lord, we just give you praise and glory in all things. Lord, you reveal to us in the scripture what you're doing. You've revealed to us what you're doing to the world around us, what you're doing to the church, what you're doing with us individually, how you reveal yourself through us, how you empower us. And Lord, my goodness, it's just hard to understand the depth of what you've done for us and the depth of your love for us, God. But I just pray from these words, you continue to speak to us, God. Continue to speak to us and show us step by step, knowing that you're the one that takes care of the outcome. We don't take care of the outcome. We just believe you and take a step and let you take care of the outcome. So, Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. And just unimaginable that you called us to be your children. We thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.